Bam.
Yeah, baby.
Bam. There it is.
Yeah.
Excited for the show tonight. Welcome, everybody. Love it. Love Wednesdays, dude. I love Wednesdays. So let everybody, if this is your first time here, welcome to the Reptiles Unplugged show. I am Adam, one of your hosts. Beach Bum Exotics is where you'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, Morph Market, and all that fun stuff. And I've got an amazing host with me tonight. Sure, take it away.
My name is Shane Kelly, Small Town Exotics. You can find me at smalltownexotics.com, Instagram, YouTube, all those cool places. And our technical producer, Jay at Greenline Morphs. Find him on Instagram and Morph Market. Boom, it's getting better. Yeah.
We are getting like more refined. I like it. I like it. Good job. Good job, Shane. Love it. Man, so what's been going on with you this week? Anything crazy?
Anything no, good? Man. I mean, I don't know. Just eat, sleep, repeat, clean snake poop, and feed snake. I don't know. I don't even know what day it is half the time, man. I just know Wednesdays, I have an alarm that goes off and tells me it's Wednesday.
Yeah, right? I judge my week by feeding day and the live show, basically. They fall on the same day, so I know it's Wednesday every time this comes around.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, thanks everybody for joining. We'll run through a few of the people in chat here because we always appreciate you guys showing up, showing us some love, talking amongst yourself in chat and asking us good questions. So Ashley, Catalina Morph Mixer, thank you. First for 2 weeks in a row. Love it. Herbert out there, man. Herbert's always in chat. Really appreciate that, Herbert. I'm going to get you a little something special here in a moment. Will's Hella Heat. Thank you, Will. And glad you remembered. I will do my best at setting that reminder to let you know it is Wednesday to join the show. And Bods, Jeremy, thank you, sir. Always love having you in chat as well. We've got a bunch of good people. Bree, thank you. And we got the Herpin Harbins out there. I think that's Alicia if it doesn't say Josh behind it. So thank you. Thank you. And we got Chris, Fat Man Nation. Go check him out. Doing a lot of good stuff out there. Thanks for making it tonight, sir. And if I forgot anybody, I do apologize, but we'll just kind of jump into things from here.
Wait, I got to say something, though.
Yes.
Big shout out to Bree. I'm slowly trying to reel her back in. She was once doing reptiles, and she's a Tennessean as well.
Okay.
Trying to reel her back in. So she's here in the chat. That's one step closer into, you know, back to breeding snakes.
Nice. I like it. Okay. Good job. Good job, Shane.
And tomorrow's her birthday. So happy birthday, Bree, in advance.
Happy birthday. Nice. Heck yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, start buying some snakes and breeding again. Welcome to the chat. Oh, man. We do have a good interview lined up for you guys tonight. Somebody who's been a pillar in the community as far as bringing some technology, some clarity, and all the fun stuff that comes with that. So you guys, we also got some questions from people. Thank you to those that submitted those. We can't wait to get them in for you. And with that, let's go ahead and bring, that's just a white piece of paper, Shane. There was nothing written on it, right?
That's all the crowd questions. That's what I think about them.
All right, but with that said, let's bring in our guest tonight. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Thanks for spending some time with us tonight and letting
us. Of course, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Shane lined this one up, so thank you, Shane. Appreciate that. And well, you know, kind of going into it, we don't really want to do the same thing everybody's done and have you cover origin story and, you know, kind of all that boring stuff. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're going to flip around our fire round questions that we normally do at the end. We're going to change it to be an icebreaker kind of question series thing. So, Charlie, I'm sure you've been through this before, sir. Quickest answers off the top of your head always make for the funnest time.
I'll do my best.
All right, you'll do your best. All right, that's what I like to hear. First up, all right. First question is, what is the most spectacularly useless skill you've ever mastered in your life?
Genetic shed testing.
I love it.
Shane and I saw, I was reading these off to Shane, and he totally guessed that answer. He's like, that's what he's going to say. All right, second question.
Yeah.
If you had to choose the theme song that played every time you entered a room for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, man. Okay, this is going to be weird, and most people probably won't know it, but Here Comes the Boom by DMX from the Belly soundtrack.
Oh, dude, I know that song, actually.
I think that's an awesome entrance song.
Heck yeah, Belly's a tight movie, too. Man. I love that movie. That's a deep reference right there. Hell yeah, that's a good one. All right, third question. You open a drawer to find a surprise clutch of eggs. What's the first word out of your mouth?
Oh, shit. Right.
I guess that one, too!
that's probably most people like, holy shit, or whoa.
Definitely. I was channeling Randy from Dark Cloud. It was going to be, oh, fuck yeah. What the heck? All right, Shane, we'll turn it over to you for the last one.
All right, the most important question of the night. Ancient aliens or Bigfoot?
I think aliens.
Yeah.
Boom! Yeah! All right. Alien. There's no right or wrong answers, but that one is more right than wrong. So,
yeah.
All right, good job.
My wife would probably disagree with me. She has me watching all the Bigfoot shows all the time, and she, it definitely could be. There's so much places we haven't seen on Earth, and they could be smart. I'm like, I think aliens are probably, I don't know. I just feel like there has to be living things somewhere else in this whole whatever we're in.
You know? The Furby complex or whatever, whatever they say, just statistically, I feel you. Yeah, definitely. And then, I mean, with people like Shane on planet Earth, how could you not believe in aliens? Like,
exactly. Yeah, man. Yeah. Genetic experiments are real, man.
He's going to pull a Men in Black right now and just like convert.
Flash all of us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun. That was a good one. And yep. Last week, we did have somebody answer Bigfoot. We almost kicked him off the show, but it's okay.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it could be Bigfoot, I guess, but obviously there has to be aliens somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I guess neither of them have to be, but.
Yeah. It's one of those age-long debates, you know. Which one is it, aliens or Bigfoot? Maybe Bigfoot is the alien, and we've all been fooled all along.
Right. So.
I can tell you what, though. Here in Tennessee, Bigfoot has better parties because there's festivals. There's a Sasquatch guy. I mean, it's a big deal here. There's, like, Bigfoot silhouettes and shit, so he does give off the party vibe, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. What are the aliens bringing to the table? Jesus, come on! Again.
I don't know. They have a beef jerky stand on the way to Vegas. I mean, there's that.
Yeah, that's lame.
The jerky's good though.
All right, Charlie. So, what'd you think? Not bad, right? Pretty
no,
good.
Not bad. Did not bad. You took it easy on me.
Yeah. That's fun. Well, Shane. I know we do have some questions from you know, some of our guests or some listeners from last week. Did you want to hammer out some of those right away and then we can get into some of our stuff?
Yeah, let's educate some of the chat here, Charlie. So what are some common mistakes people make when sending sheds? Like, get it off your chest. Like, you know,
not
sure
labeling
people...
blank, nothing. You know, that's the biggest, you know, problem. Only a few times have I gotten sheds that literally have nothing on the envelope and nothing on this bag or anything, but I have gotten where there's literally zero and they'll just sit here until somebody says, hey, where's my results? And I'm like, are these yours? Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Now we know. But,
you know, well, that's nice of you to keep them around. I figured you would have just trashed
them. Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming in that case they only sent you one shed because if you
no, well, they'll have like a they'll be like 1-2, 1-3. They'll have a snake ID on it, but no company name, no person name, no order number, no anything like that. No return address on the envelope. I've had to do some investigating on my own and figure things out by even an address and maybe not a name. You know,
like a reverse.
Like, okay, this is from this city. Then I could go back and search my orders and look. Search for that city name in my orders and pull that up and be like, okay, this makes sense. Let me reach out to them. Things like that, it just adds a lot of time that I do not really have right now. But that's a big one. And then like somebody's going to get a picture from me tonight. I've been away for 4 days, but I just got back late last night. So I have a ton of work to do tonight, but somebody's going to get a picture of me of a shed that I'm not going to show it, 'cause it'll show who it is. But it literally like, it was so wet, it seeped through the card that they had inside there with it. I'm like, I'm not opening it. I'm not testing it, 'cause it's not going to work. Ziplocs are bad. A lot of people use it, but like these are the best. Just these
little white
coin envelopes. You get them dirt cheap on Amazon. Like I bought a box of them. I bought two boxes of them, like just a few bucks, and you get tons of them. So now that's what I like put control samples in, things I want to keep around for a while. I'll get them out of the Ziplocs, out of plastic. You don't want things in airtight bags when they're, even if you keep something hanging in your snake room is humid, it feels dry, it feels crunchy, but toss it in an airtight bag, and especially in the summer, you know, I would say over the last month I've had more sheds that I have not been able to get DNA out of than I had in a long time. I don't know if it's just people are rushing, 'cause now everybody's doing first sheds right off the bat, like boom, let's get these out. First sheds work, but they have a higher rate of failure. But you know, so
why is that? If that's interesting,
it's just because people keep them wet.
Oh, I gotcha. It's because
I have a clutch that just hatched last week, and I put them all separate. I need to test them all, so I have them all in their own separate bins from the time they came out of the eggs. Put them in their own separate, you know, tubs, and on cocoa, and they're just going to be maybe a tiny bit wetter than the regular snakes, but I'm not like, because in the past I've done paper towels and just soaked the hell out of the paper towels all the time. So when that snake sheds, if you've ever taken one out, it's just like a gooey booger. That can still work, but it's more of a rate of failure on those than, you know, on one that's just a nice, clean, dry shed, you know. So if you are going to do a first shed, separate them ASAP, keep them not completely wet. And then once you get that out, just spread it out, like, and don't keep it rolled up. Don't keep it twisted up. Spread it out as much as you can. If you have to get rid of some of it, get rid of some of it and just hang up the best parts or lay it on paper towels to dry for a few days, you know, because those are so wet, you really want them dry. And for those especially, I would not throw them in plastic. I would throw them in paper. Don't send in a bunch of full-size envelopes with sheds in them inside another bag, because I've gotten them from somebody where they'll put a bunch of letter mail envelopes like this big with sheds in there. It just takes up so much space for me, like when you're laying things out to test. Obviously, we do with what we have, and whatever comes, we do our best. But if people want to be really nice and save me a lot of time and headaches and reruns, and because reruns cost money, I don't charge people for them, but they cost me money and time to do reruns, you know. But if I don't get DNA, and I'll wait and let you get a new shed, and I'm still going to test it for free. I'm not going to charge it if we don't get DNA out of it. But you know, point it's like, all right, you know, this is costing me a lot of money to keep retesting these things. But yeah, I would say take your time and just, you know, let them dry out properly. You know, this snake's not going anywhere. If for a couple more days, it doesn't matter really in the grand scheme of things.
Right. Yeah. Because moisture is the enemy, right? It deteriorates the DNA for you.
And I even see like some, like if they're even left in the tubs too long, they'll start getting like, I've seen tons of sheds that are a green tint to it. And it's already like a mold already starting to grow on it. If I could find a piece that isn't moldy or the green tint, it'll usually work, but sometimes it doesn't. So just a little bit more, paying a little bit more attention to what you're sending really goes a long way. I'm not going to force it on anybody to do things a certain way, at least not yet. But, I don't want to make it completely difficult for you, but also you want the best accurate quick results and not, you know, long, not wait, not have to keep waiting for sheds or waiting for reruns and things like that. But,
right. It's really for them, right? For them to, right. if they do it the right way, not only is it easier for you, but it works out better for them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a pro tip about the little coin envelopes. I've been using Ziploc bags. So, you know, let's make it easy on Charlie. Switch over to coin envelopes.
And if you want to get like, they have all different color ones. I like when people send me different color ones, because if I do have to go back and find yours, it's like, oh, Shane uses the red ones. I could spot it real easy, you know, but anything white, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, especially now with this new system I got going on, like, going forward now, if people need new tests, like I was just, as I was backstage messaging with somebody and they're like, hey, you tested this for these couple things the other day. Is there any way you could test it all them for yellow belly? I said, yeah, I don't have to go look for the sheds. I just go in the computer system, like boop, boop, test for yellow belly and sample gets pulled. Everything's stored, you know, for 6 months and it just runs, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. Herp and Harvey's had a good little tip for everybody there too. Pull it apart, droop it over the snake's tub and let it dry for days.
That's what I do. I either droop it over the tub or I have like magnets on every, above every tub. I'll just pop a magnet on it.
Pop it. Yeah.
And if you drop it or you mix it, just, because I've done it with my own snakes. Like I've used something my snakes I'll take out for control samples when I need things, you know, and I've dropped shed on the floor and there was another shed on the floor and it's like, which one was it? I think pretty sure it was this one. I'm really confident it was this one, and then you picked the wrong one and you screwed, you know,
right?
But yeah, so keeping good track of your sheds, it's always going to happen. Like I said, my snake room is literally in the room next door, and I've taken sheds out of tubs that I've had to test on my own last year for a clutch, and like, oh crap, which tub did I take this out of?
Right. Because you have so many things running through your head.
At that point, it's like, boop, trash, waiting for the next one. It's just not worth it.
Right.
You know, a lot of times people will send it in and, you know, it might be wrong. And like, you sure that this isn't, you sure you sent the right one? Like, pretty sure. All right. Well, again, let's do it again just to be sure, you know?
Yeah.
So those things are always going to happen. And I get it. And there's really nothing we could do about that. We're all humans and we're all going to make those mistakes at some point. But
but that's you going above and beyond. Like you're doing these retests and you're even investigating who's sending you the sheds. That's some good customer service right there. Some people might just be like, oh, no address, no name, trash, you know?
Yeah, the customer service is definitely the thing that honestly takes up most of my time. Putting results in, we're working on getting everything automated. It's almost there. We have it working for certain things, but I'm still have testing things in multiple different ways. So results are coming in a couple different ways. So it's a little... we're getting there though. Eventually I don't want to have any humans interacting with results or anything like that. I want it to just be computerized, perfect, you know, no typing in anything wrong, no anything like that. But you know, it's still, things could happen and I do my best. Like if I see again, like today, somebody, we ran tests today for Het Clown for somebody for three samples and two of them were Het, one of them was negative. I'm going to put the results in and I see that they labeled the known genetics as whatever, Het Clown. And I'm like, did they just test them just to have the test? Did they know they were Het Clown? So I reach out to them. Hey, just so you know, one of these came back not Het Clown. Is this correct? Did I screw up? Did you screw up? It's like, oh no, I meant to put 66% Het. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Okay, good. Like those things like that, I don't like just handing out results if anything seems fishy or off. Like I'm going to take the time. If I don't know the person and it's somebody and they don't have a company name in there and there's a phone number and email, I've called people before just like, hey, this is Charlie at Shed Testing. You know, I have a quick question. They're like, wow, thanks for calling. I'm like, holy cow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So things like that take time, but I think that's important. You know,
yeah, I can attest to that too. You've called me on certain occasions too.
And it's like important, not even for you guys, but for me too, because I I can't sleep at night if I think I did something wrong. So I need to clear things up and make sure everything is right and perfect. Again, things could happen, but I'm trying my hardest to make sure they don't. I'll never just be lax and just be like, oh, yeah, whatever. That's probably right. Here you go.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, we appreciate that about you, Charlie. Yeah. I mean, honestly, because it's that type of character trait that, man, it's needed in the business that you're working in. That's for sure.
Appreciate it. Yeah. It's definitely tough, but like I said, it's not even just for you guys. It's for me too.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Yeah. And you're a one man show over there, right? So customers.
Well, I have an employee who comes every day, Monday through Friday. Sometimes if we're busy, she comes multiple days. Okay. On the weekends, like there's been times she's worked 7 days a week, but so I go to my day job during the day. She comes here when I'm at the day job. She goes to the PO box, and I don't know about that, Will. Gets everything set up and does everything. She runs a lot of tests, and she's awesome. She's been here for a while now, and probably about a year and a half ago when it kind of went from 0 to 60 in like 0.2 seconds, I feel like the business just really blew up overnight, it feels like. And I couldn't do it myself. It's a lot with a family, day job, and this takes up more time than anything. Even with somebody helping me out.
Right. And you still have your collection too that you're breeding and maintaining.
Yeah. I didn't breed a lot this year. I only had one clutch so far. I think a girl just ovulated. And that's the thing. Like, I'm missing ovulations. Like, I'm missing times to pair. It's just, I don't have as much time to focus on the snakes and really watch them like you normally do, especially, you know, when you have four or five snakes. I mean, I don't have a lot compared to most people in this chat. I only have 52 snakes, but it's probably about 25 too many at this point. So,
right.
There's some that I'll probably be listing soon. I can't do it.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, they're all well fed, well taken care of and everything, but it's just, I'm wasting money feeding snakes that I'm probably not going to breed or misbreed or, you know, things like that. So I'd rather somebody else have them.
Right.
You kind of alluded to something earlier, and it was actually a question on this list. So I want you to elaborate on it for a little bit if you can. Mm-hmm. Do you store reference samples or data to recheck results if questions come up later? And how long do you store them for, if you do?
So, yeah, I store them all for months. But I can't. In the beginning, like when I literally first started, I had a couple like banker's boxes and folders in there and would have like, I have a Shane Kelly folder still because you were one of the first guys, you know, who's typing. There's a handful, like I saw them the other day. I was in my basement where I first started doing it before I built this. And I saw it was like a Shane Kelly, a Sal Gomez, like a bunch of old school guys that
I almost wore my Gomez shirt tonight too.
You know, there's a bunch of, and I saw them. I'm like, man, what was I thinking that I could actually make folders for everybody? Like now, I mean, I could look, let's see, customers. I mean, there's thousands of people now at this point. So it's just not possible to keep everything. I keep things. I have things as kind of like dates now. So when things are done testing, they go into one bin, and then every like week or two, they'll go somewhere else, and then they'll move somewhere else, and then they'll move somewhere else. And then eventually they get put in a huge bin, and they're in that bin probably for 4 or 5 months until I feel like doing a purge. But things that I save are things with genes on it that I might need for the future. For test development, for validation, for control samples, things like that. But now with this new method of testing, 6 months, pretty much everything is stored in a, you know, I don't know what they call it, but it's every sample is stored in a freezer waiting for me to be able to, at any moment I could click a button and have it tested for something tomorrow for 6 months. So
that's good to know, because I'll have tests like that. Like if it tests for G stripe or clown, then if one of those pop positive, then I also want to test it for hypo and DG.
Right. So on that point, like now with how cheap I got the additional testing down to, like people ask me that, they're like, hey, how do you, how can I do it so that if this tests positive for DG, we also test it for clown? It's like, all right, I could do that, but for $5 more, you could just test it for a clown right now.
You know? Right, right, right.
Instead of doing a
rerun. If it's negative for DG and it comes out to be heck clown, you made your $5 back.
Right, right. That's a good point.
Because if you wait and the test is run already, extractions have to occur again. And the extraction is probably the most expensive part of running these tests. So that's why if it's done at the same time, I could do it cheaper.
All right.
So now you just got to think about it. Like, all right, is it worth me just testing for anything possible for an extra $5-$10 if it's two, whatever. It used to be an extra $20 a test. It used to, I think still is some places. It took $20-$25 extra a test. And, you know, now it's $5 extra, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was still in the old mentality, like the way you're thinking. While we're talking about that, you've had a recent price change structure. You want to elaborate that on the panels and all that?
Yeah. So right now, you know, we started doing the full panels. We have the recessive panels, but mainly it's like a create your own. Like I almost didn't make an option there really isn't an option for it's. I just made it a little easier. So all the genetics are sitting there on the website. You put your snake ID in and you just start clicking. So if you want to test for four things, three things, 10 things, 12 things, one thing, you just click it and the price updates as you go. But I made it easier. So if you want to do a full panel, it's just boom, select all. If you want to just do all recessive, boom, selects all recessives. But what I've seen is there are people running full panels more than I thought, because I mean, I don't know, for me, I don't do it on my own snakes because I pretty much know I don't have to test for most things. You know, if I want to just roll the dice and see if certain things are recessive, then I'll just test it for all the recessives. But any one of my snakes I look at, I can tell you there's no spider in there. I don't care if it's head albino. I don't, it's not champagne. You know, I know for sure it's not, you know, whatever, chocolate or whatever.
Right.
So usually that's why I wanted to make it so it's customizable. You could pick whatever you want, you know, and have it be cheap enough to, if you want to test eight things. In the past, testing for eight genes on one snake was a shit ton of money.
Right.
You know, now eight is what? So it starts at 35, then 45 is the second. I don't know, what is it, like $70 or something like that?
$70.
So, you know, that's literally $5 more than it costs to test one when this first started.
Right. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been cool to watch it, like, the whole thing, like, progress, like how you're saying. Like, in the beginning, it was like, oh, I'm going to test for this one gene, and then now there's packages, and as technology and your processes move along, you're able to offer them cheaper. And thank you for that, Charlie.
Yeah. I mean, obviously for me, it was a learning curve because I only knew how to do it one way. And, you know, I start learning more and more things, talking to more people like, you know, you could do it like this. And okay. Then I changed and I started doing it that way, invested a ton of money in new machines. And it's like, well, then you could do it like this. Like, okay, now we buy even more new machines. So it's just, you know, as time goes on and, you know, I just kind of been reinvesting everything back into the company, and that's why we're at where we are. You know, if we were doing it the old way, everybody would still be paying a bunch of money for tests and waiting a really long time for results. So, you know, and it's going to just get better and better as time goes on. I have tons more stuff going on in my head, and I have tons of people that I'm talking to and working with for things in the future that we could do to make this even cooler. You know, it's already cool. I think it's awesome that we could do this. And
it's amazing.
But the plan, there's a lot bigger things ahead, I think.
Nice.
And hopefully we could shock some people, you know, soon.
Okay. I like shocks. I like disruption. Yeah, let's get it, Charlie.
Yeah, I see TriStripe. So I've had the TriStripe data back for a few weeks now, and I haven't tested anything yet. We have one or two decent candidate genes that we were looking at. So probably by Friday, I'll order my first round of primers to test our first hit that we have on there to see how it goes. So when we look at this data, like I've always been pretty transparent about how it works. So I don't care. I mean, whatever. So when we look at the data, we get back the variants that are in between the tri-stripe animals that we sequence versus the non-tri-stripes that we sequence, and you see the variants in between them. And sometimes you get lucky and like the gene will make perfect sense. Like a gene that is known to do something like clown, for instance, it's a very known studied mutation that changes, makes you a redhead, you know, makes somebody have red hair. So if you see something like that on your variants, you're like, I want to focus on this one, you know, Mandarin, we have something like that right now that stood out, and I've been validating Mandarin tests now for a while, but Mandarin's going to be just like lace where it's going to take a while because I can't just pull sheds out. Like I could pull out sheds that say het tri-stripe and pretty confident that the person's right on that. You know, when you're doing recessives, if they bred a visual tri-stripe, they're going to have a het tri-stripe. I can't just go pull out sheds that say Mandarin on it and run them for validation because that's what I did it with lace in the beginning. And it almost screwed me up and made me not continue looking where I was looking. And luckily that it was such a, like easy gene that we were like, this has to be it. Let me just keep going and source sheds from people that I know have lace and I can see the snakes and things like that. But yeah, so TriStripe will hopefully start validation probably next week, early next week. I'll get the primers. So mid to late next week, we'll start validating it. But that can mean nothing. That can mean I could have the test in 2 weeks. Again, because recessives are a lot easier to validate than, you know, the dominant mutations because we know what they are and they have usually a very easy to spot look to them. Or it doesn't work and I have to move to the next one. And now I have to order primers again and wait for them to come and start the whole process over and over again. So when people ask me a lot, like how long out for this? Like it could be a week or it could be 2 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. I could give you a guesstimate of what I think, you know, but I can't tell you for sure anything.
What I know is when Charlie's working on something, it's not going to come out until it's like he's comfortable with it and the results are solid. So,
yeah.
Like I put my faith in Charlie on that.
I have multiple tests right now that work amazing and might even be the real test, but I haven't done enough validation and I'm not releasing them yet.
What's your bar on validation? Is it the same for all the genes out there?
Well, like, for recessives, like I said, it's a lot easier and I could pump out 100, 200 tests on a recessive fairly quick, you know, but for something like Mandarin, it's going to be hundreds and some of them are going to come back negative, you know? So then I have to go look and all right, does that really have to be Mandarin? You know, it's hard. It's hard to ID.
Yeah.
So, for something like that, it's going to be hundreds with a very, very low failure rating.
Right.
You know, but luckily for us, like I said, lace wound up being a gene that we were, and the location on the gene, everything just was aligned perfectly. So we knew that that was right. And we still did hundreds and hundreds of validation tests on that.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I want to throw in my own personal story here with Charlie and Lace. So when Charlie first started validating, he like put out the call like, hey, does anyone have any lace animals that came from white lace or whatever, you know? And I'm like, oh, I got two for you, Charlie. Here's the sheds. Wham. One of them didn't test out his lace. Charlie went like back through the Instagram feed, found the snake, and was like, look, that's not a white lace. And I'm like, man, I mean... So that's Charlie. Like Charlie does his homework. So I paid $1,500 for a fire hat clown.
Oh, and it's fire too. Like, and that's the problem. Like, so many fires are mislabeled as fire laces just because yellow belly too. You know, when they're babies, it's so hard when you, you know, when you are pulling a, you know, a clutch and you see a fire yellow belly clown that's possibly lace and it looks a lot better than the one next to it. You're like, so this got to be the lace, but does it have to be the lace, or could that just be a nicer fire yellow belly clown than the fire yellow belly clown right next to it?
Right.
So, I don't think a lot of this lace stuff, I believe, wasn't done on with malintent or anything like that. It was just really hard. And I think people are learning now that you have to label like Mandarin. There's no real test for Mandarin yet out there. You got to label that as possible Mandarin unless you are a good 1,000,000% sure. And if you're a buyer of it, you have to say, hey, I'm buying this, but if a test comes out, I'm testing it. What are we going to do if it tests negative?
Right.
Have those conversations.
Well, and like the breeder that I got my lace from too, he was under the assumption his breeder was a white lace. So for him, it was just like, oh, these are all lace. These are all lace. These are all lace. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case.
And that, we've seen it now tons of times where, and luckily those breeders, most of those breeders, especially the big breeders, I would say maybe there's like one or two people that still aren't testing lace stuff that are fairly decent sized breeders. But most of the big name guys, the guys that we all know, once they realize that they made some mistakes, they're not making those mistakes anymore. They're doing the right thing and they're testing everything and they don't care.
Right.
Because you're better off spending a few bucks now than selling somebody a snake and them raising it up and breeding it and being disappointed 2 years.
Yeah. From right. Cause that's, you know, time you can't get back, right? Right. You could always go buy another snake, but that's right. 2 years now gone. Then
right.
Nobody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The white lace thing definitely hurt a lot of people because they thought they had white lace, especially like when yellow belly and fire and pastel, super pastel, anything that's lightening it, you could be wrong. Banana,
right?
You know, there's a lot of stuff. Black pastel makes lace look really crazy too. Like, and it really makes black pastel laces. If you didn't know any better, and I showed it to you, you'd be like, "Yeah, that's got to be white lace." No, it's not.
Just a single copy,
right? Because that chaining, like that chain linking and everything, it just exaggerates it much more just with a single copy of it.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, in the lace specific, how many? Do you remember how many you had to kind of, how many sheds you had to test to kind of get to that point? Like 200, 300, 400?
I would say at least 300. At least 300. Probably four.
Wow, man.
And a lot of that, like, but probably more, because a lot of that are negatives too.
Yeah, I was going to ask out of that.
You're pulling tons of ones that you know are not lace to make sure that they don't pop as lace. So not only do you want to make sure that the actual laces are testing correctly, the white laces are testing correctly, but you want to make sure that no negatives are testing wrong. That's what happened with paint. Like I was this close. I validated probably 150 paints and it was perfect, dead on. I was this close to releasing that test and I was like, you know what, let me do another run. I did another run and a negative paint came back as head paint or visual paint or something, I knew it was something was up, so I was like, all right, we're not doing that. That's one out of probably 200, say.
Wow.
So that's very good percentage of accuracy, but
it's 0.05, right? Yeah. It's not even a full percent. Yeah,
it's a half a percent, but so I was like, well, now I still have to, you know, I've tested a lot more since and it's still been dead on, but there's one or two snakes that have tested weird with lace, with paint. And so until I figure it out, I'm not going to officially release that.
So you're not going to release test unless you're like superiorly like confident in it.
Except for Monsoon. We released Monsoon and I don't feel great.
Is that due to peer pressure?
I agree. And I said, you know, I'm down to do it and all that. I'm just going to have disclosures and everything. Like and like I said, anytime I'm on a show like this, I'll straight up say, like, I don't know if it's the right test. You know, there's been weird stuff going on with it and, you know, we're still working on it. It's very good test. Perfect example. I bought two Posset Monsoons 2 years ago, females. I was raising them up before a test. And just as I started validating this first test that I found, I tested mine. One came back head monsoon, one came back negative. Hmm. And I bred the one that came back head monsoon to another head monsoon, and I have two visual monsoons in my bins right now.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I think it's really good for breeding. If you're selling stuff as het monsoon, make sure you're saying that it's tested as het monsoon. So that way the person that's buying it knows that it didn't come from visual. Odds are it's probably het monsoon, but there's a small chance that it might not be.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to make sure everybody knows that. And I'm not hiding anything. And it is what it is. It works really well. But, you know, it's you never know.
Yeah. Right.
And we know we're in the right area, but that area, like I've talked to Ben, Ben works with us on it. The Jurgen and Heather in Canada and Jurgen in Europe. We're very close to it. It's got to be right where we're at, but it's a very messy part of the genome, and it just hasn't been treating us right. So there's different things I'm going to try to do and try to get it better, but we'll see. But for now, it is what it is. And I just want everybody to know that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of leads into this. How much do you do in-house versus send out and stuff?
So we now have an automated, lab that I'm working with, and pretty much almost everything goes out. There's stuff that are quick and easy to run here. Certain genes, sometimes, I'll get a shed. Say you send me a shed, and you're like, hey, test it for pied and lace. And if the shed isn't, lace is a lot in a better part of the genome where the primers work amazing. It works most of the time. Like, I'll get results. Like, even if it's not the greatest shed, but obviously if it's no DNA, there's no DNA. But certain parts of the genome and certain primers could be adjusted to make work better. Sometimes they'll work perfectly, it'll work for lace but not for pied, because I maybe have to optimize my primers, or maybe it's just where it is on the genome. So things like that. So things that are easy to run, I'll have my employee run them right here. And now during show season, we're running a ton here because I get sheds days before the shows and people want results by Friday. So, it's like, all right, stay late today, do all these sheds, and let's try to get these people their results before the show.
Very interesting.
Which you've done that for me too. You've put a rush on them so I could take animals to show. So thank you, Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah. If people know they're going to do a show, try to get the sheds out a little bit earlier, but we do our best. We try to take care of you when we can. I've tested snakes for somebody while he was at the show, because I tested it for something else for this guy like a week before, and somebody went to his table, and that person that I know went to his table, took a picture, and was like, dude, this isn't a visual DG. I'm like, I don't know, what snake is it? I look, I'm like, I don't know, I tested it for hypo. So the guy called me, he's like, hey, can you test this for DG? So I tested it. I was like, I can give you results in about 3 hours. So I called him back. I'm like, it's visual DG. He goes, awesome, thanks. on a Saturday. But
do you have a tip button? Right?
Yeah,
right.
Gotta stay.
Yeah. Will has a good question. Is there a better spot on the shed to test than other parts?
So I like the sides, honestly. They're the medium size scales. The bellies are getting dirty. Obviously they're going to be rolling over the piss and the crap more. I like the side pieces, where they're not the tiny little scales on the backs, but they're decent. So that's where I try to grab from when we're doing it. But usually somewhere in the middle of the snake, whatever's the cleanest part, send. If if something is filthy, throw it out and just send the clean part. I'm still going to pick what I want to pick from it. So that's why when people are like, oh, do you do you care if I send you a foot long piece, or do you only want a quarter size piece? I'm like, I'd rather you send more than less, because I want to pick where to pull the piece that I'm going to test from. We only use a tiny little piece, but I'd still rather pick myself what piece to pull than
being given just a little bit and
have. And then when things need reruns or anything like that, I'd rather have more than not enough.
Yeah. Okay. But so genetically wise, DNA wise, all of it.
As long as I get DNA, I get DNA. That's all it comes down to.
What's better, the shed or scale clippings?
Scale clippings usually work better. But I really don't like when they're tiny ones. Like, if you're giving me one tiny one, at least send me a couple. Because, again, what if the reaction doesn't work that time? And what if the extraction doesn't work? I want something else. So if you can send me multiple scales, send multiple scales. Bigger the snake, the better for scale clippings. The little hatchlings are tough because you're just giving me just a tiny little bit. And sometimes they don't. If you're only taking off a little sliver and you're not getting a little deeper into there, you might not get everything. But
yeah, it still makes me nervous doing the trimming on the scales. You know,
I mean, listen, I know everybody's in a rush to get everything, but just sit back and think: do I really need this tomorrow?
Right.
And the answer might be yes. Maybe there's a huge sale on the line, and the guy like, I need to know now. Reach out to me, Charlie. I need to get this done tomorrow. What can we do? And I'll walk you through it and let's get it done, you know. But for most cases, you could probably wait, you know, and just make sure everything's done right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask that too. Like, I remember a while back, and me and you kind of did it too, like swabs and scale clippings. That was kind of like a trend. Yeah. But is that still, are you still getting swabs? A lot of those?
Like, I still get a decent amount of scale clippings, and it's fine. We use them all the time. Swabs. I used to do them on my own snakes a lot before I, really don't have time. You know, I don't want my employee doing them because I want the swab done immediately and then go right to the table. You know, they'll degrade a lot quicker. So, you know, usually it works though. If I've done it. I don't know if I got good results with yours or not, but I've done them for people where they've sent me swabs on a toothpick from the inside of the lip, twist it, get it real good in there, rub it around, put it in again, paper, send it. And, you know, if I would do priority at a minimum, but nobody, please don't send them. Don't do it unless you reach out to me first. If there's a real reason why you have to, you know, especially with scale clippings now, I'm probably not going to run it if you just send it to me.
Good to know.
But, yeah. Remember that first one I used, like the bristle swabs for like NIDO test. And you're like, man, that ate up all the reagent. And I was like, okay, we won't do it that way anymore.
The best thing, like when I do it is like, literally I break the sharp end off of a toothpick and just use that. And, it works. Well, I've done it on my snakes and it works, but I don't recommend doing it. And I wouldn't tell people to do it. Cause again, you have to make sure you're getting good DNA on that. And, you know, most of us don't care about, you know, we'll assist feed our snakes. So most people don't care about opening a snake's mouth and doing things like that. But sheds are just the easiest, you know. Yeah. If you get a shed and 90 something percent of the time sheds are going to give me good enough DNA.
Your snake is 100% wood.
Smecomorphous turnaround time on a full panel. So right now it's about a week and a half. Could be a little quicker, but there are still a couple of tests that are on the full panel that I have to do separately because we don't have them working on the new system yet. So I would guess within the next few weeks, everything will be working on there. And it's probably 4 to 5. My goal is going to be 5 business day turnaround time on right now.
That's really good.
It's more like right now, probably 7 or 8, maybe 9, you know, depending on like, again, how I said, sometimes certain tests work better than others because we're testing everything individually, but it's all automated. So, but there still might be certain tests that one out of the 40 something that don't work and might need a rerun. So I don't want to give an exact time frame on the turnaround, but it's quick, you know, for a full panel, it's quick. And we're going to hopefully get it even faster. But right now, week and a half, something like that.
Speed, accuracy, and great customer service. Man, you got it all, Charlie.
I'm trying.
Yeah, that's McDonald's slogan right there, right? I believe, right? Speed, accuracy, and customer service.
I don't know about accuracy on that.
It depends who's working that night.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What's up?
How do you prevent mix-ups when you're handling sheds from multiple breeders at the same time? Or are you handling sheds from multiple breeders?
So everything uses its own, everything's in its own bag, and then it gets its own tweezer, and only one shed will be out of a bag at a time. You know, I don't open the bags or anything, lay them all out. They're stayed, you know, they stay secure until I'm ready to put that into the well that it's going. And you gotta just be focused. You gotta like take your time. Like, cause if you're rushing, like I'd tell my employee that, I said, listen, and if you're not sure, throw it out and start all over again. I'll pay you the extra hour to do it again. I'd rather pay you to stay longer than potentially screw something up. So, you know, it's nerve wracking. I'm not going to lie. You know, I worry about it all day, every day, you know.
How easy is the cross contamination? Pretty easy.
If you're putting, I mean, cross contamination, not so much, but if you're putting a shed into a tube and you skip a tube and then you go to the next one, next one, next one, a lot of times you'll figure it out by the time you're done. You're like, oh shit, I have an extra shed here, but not an empty well.
So now everything later, could be off by
do it all over again, you know. You know, cross contamination again, like what we're doing with the method we use, like if there is a little bit of cross contamination, we'll see it because we won't get an accurate result. We'll get like an in between, a het and a negative, and then we'll either it didn't get good amplification and needs a rerun, or it could have been cross contamination somewhere and it needs a rerun. But you know, if the majority of the DNA we're getting is, you know, from one piece of shed, you know, we're going to, and there's a tiny bit of contamination, might not even notice, and it won't affect the result. But if there's a lot of contamination, then it's going to affect the result, but we're going to be able to see it, and it's not going to call properly, and it's going to be called a rerun.
Gotcha. All right.
You know,
look at that man, bear, pig. What the hell? Like,
yeah. So clean and dry sheds. We need them clean. We need them dry. Correct.
Yes. Yep. That's the best. I love it. I love that.
Yeah. If you had to pick one morph that's available on your task, that what as the most exciting, the most stoked you were to get it, which morph would it be?
I would say lace, but I was stoked to get it, but I also hated that I had it. because the time that I spend dealing with people when I tell them that their snake is not lace, I'm doing the investigations that most people should be doing on their own when buying them and after they're grown. Because a lot of times you get it, you can't tell, you know, until it gets older. But, you know, when somebody sends me a picture of their snake and it's like, dude, come on. Obviously, that's not lace. Like, just look. Look at the same snake with lace in it. You know, so I have like a photo album of lace animals that in every freaking combination that I know is actually lace that I send to people when they get a negative result and they're shocked.
Right.
They're like, nope, here you go. Oh, yeah, I get it. I see what you're saying. Nope, makes sense. Yep. So, what else? Yeah. I don't know. It's all a blur in my head right now. But yeah, lace was exciting. It was, honestly, because I knew no matter how annoying it has been, I know that it's going to help the industry going forward. because it is such an awesome gene. Oh, Monarch was actually really awesome. Like, that was cool that when we got Monarch and we saw that, because Jürgen had a Monarch test, Heather had a Monarch test, and I'm helping them do validations, and some of them are working, some of them are not. Like, what the hell is going on? And then once we test them all together with the two tests, we realize, it's two mutations. It's two lines of Monarch, you know.
That's wild.
So yeah, that was actually like a cool, like, aha moment. Like, oh, this makes sense. Like, we've been working on this for a while, and now we know why it's been causing us problems, you know. Because I remember Jürgen told me, he's like, man, we have a Monarch test, man. It's working, and you've tested, I've tested. It's like 70% accurate, 75% accurate. I don't get it. I'm like, and he's like, it just makes sense, too, everything. And then when we put two and two together and we started testing every known sample for both of them, we would get double hats that were visuals. You know, so right. That even made it more like, we got it, you know.
Right.
You know, so we got it. You know? So that actually probably was the coolest one.
Yeah, that part still kind of confuses me, like different lines, but compatible recessive, you know, like, that's a trip.
Yeah, and we're getting more and more of them. And that's why it's not as easy to find these tests, you know. I know everybody wants everything, and trust me, so do I. But, you know, think about how long that took. How long it took for us to figure that out. You know, they figured fire out. You know, we had the data for vanilla, fire, all that, and again, it was crazy, and then they figured out, it's two lines of fire. So that was Ultramel. Dr. Seidel figured out two lines of Ultramel right off the bat in the beginning. You know, when they're compatible, it doesn't really matter. Right. You know, it doesn't really cause any change for the, you know, breeders or anything like that.
Yeah, because visually, we're all shooting for that visual. Yeah.
Like when I'm testing Monarchs, if somebody gets a double het visual, you know, I'll tell them that, hey, just so you know, this is double head, just because it's cool to know,
right?
Not because it matters. I could just tell them that it's a homozygous monarch.
Yeah, you know. So please don't anybody make a video out there, right?
Right. Yeah, but you know, that was definitely fun, and the Harbins like were awesome. I said, hey, I think we have Monarch. I need sheds ASAP. And they started clipping scales. They were doing everything, and they got like overnighted me
amazing
shit ton of Monarch sheds and scales and everything. And I ran them all like the next day. I was like, they all match up. We're good to go, you know. So that was fun.
Here comes FedEx with the dolly full of Monarch sheds from the Harbin.
Yeah. What do you got in here?
So what's on the other species list? I know you've talked about it on your show.
Shout out to your show too, but obviously the big ones is going to be, you know, hognose, things like that. We have Jürgen in, Europe. He's been working on a lot of the, what do they call it? The corn snake test. He just developed a few of those. So, you know, he gave them to me, and cause we share everything. So I have a bunch of corn snake tests that I have to get corn snake sheds to validate it here, make sure it works on my end before I offer it. You know, we want to do sex determination for everything. You know, that's right. The goal. That's what we've been spending a lot of money on, and, you know, time, research, trying to figure it out. We want to get that working for everything, you know, because there's so many species out there. Every time I'm at a show, somebody comes up to me, please, could you get it for this? Get it. We're trying, you know, that's on the list. Trust me. Like, those are things that are going to really help out those industries. You know, ball pythons obviously is the bread and butter right now, but there's not a lot of mutations in, you know, monitors or things like that, or, you know, but that helps monitor breeders, you know, blue tongue skinks. They want sex tests for those. Like, there's a lot of people that are selling really expensive animals as unknown sex, you know?
Right.
So right. Those are things we're really, really putting a lot of effort into. But yeah, hopefully at some point, ball pythons is just one thing that the company offers. It's just one of many things that we offer.
Do you do sex tests for hognose right now?
No. All right. There's publicly available colubrid test, and you know I offered it for a little while, but then I realized it wasn't working, and it worked on all the sheds I had. From Chris from BNS sent me tons of colubrid, and so I guess there's different tests for all the different ones, even though the research showed that it didn't. And Ben from RGI, I was talking to him. I said, dude, why isn't this one working for this? He's like, yeah, you got to know there's different ones. So I was like, yeah, all right, I'm done with that for now. Eventually we'll get back there, but I just don't have the time right now. But those are all things that me as the company, I'm working to figure out a way to get help and, you know, get things going that I can't do by myself, mainly because of time. You know, the ball pythons is taking up tons and tons and tons of time. And a lot of it is customer service and the research. You know, it's just a lot for one person to do that has a full-time job and a family.
Right.
So after this, it's 9 o'clock. I'm going to put my son to bed and I'll be right back up here until I don't know when.
Right.
So we'll see.
I know Will was asking earlier if the shed testing business is outweighing your day job as far as money goes yet. No, not yet.
No, not even close.
Yeah.
it's literally not at all. You know, it's like I said, 99% of the money has gone right back into it.
Gotcha. Different, more like
the research costs a fortune. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Every time a new test is developed, never mind the sequencing costs, but the validation, when you're validating 300-400 tests, that's a lot of money.
Right. You know, yeah, time, right?
It's a lot of time and a lot of money. So at some point, it would be amazing if I could benefit from this.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just not that time. And I'm lucky to be in a position where I don't have to benefit from it because my day job pays the bills.
Right.
You know, I have no loans. I have no debt in this. So everything is owned outright by me. I don't owe anybody anything. So that's the good thing is I took my time and I invested as I made more and more money. I'd upgrade. And this last round of upgrades was very expensive. So,
gotcha.
But everybody's benefiting it. I'm benefiting from it because it's less off on my plate. You're benefiting from it because it's cheaper testing. So it's worth it, but it's just going to take time. At some point, hopefully it could be profitable.
Well, in the meantime, you got clout and street cred.
Yeah.
Just saying, bro.
No, and I'm not going to lie. That's honestly been the coolest part about is being able to go to these shows and having, you know, I knew Shane way before he knew who I was, you know, seeing him on YouTube and stuff like that, you know, and now Shane calls me on the phone, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's probably the most famous person I have in my phone right now.
Oh,
right?
Shut up. Yeah. But we met because of Sal.
Right.
You know,
I know.
I've never seen Shane turn red before. Here it is. Oh man, but that is a cool aspect about the hobby though, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, doing some things, getting to meet people out there, having people pay attention to what you're doing. Yeah. I mean, man, especially with the shed testing, because you know, being around long before shed testing and then having it now almost being automatic when there's like disputes with people. No, this is this gene. No, it's that gene. Well, just send it in. Have technology mm-hmm. tell you. Whereas before, it would have just been an epic battle over text for months.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, and then there's still people that don't believe in it. There's still people that refuse to do it, and that's fine. Yeah. And then there's also things that shed testing can't do for you because, well, it can, but if things aren't as cut and dry, like, I'm going through something right now with somebody who popped out some babies that shouldn't have popped out or because it shouldn't have been possible for them to pop out, which made it bad for the snake that he bought as the father. I don't know how to explain it, but without saying who or anything, yeah. It is. But if there's retained sperm, that's an issue. That it's a real thing. It happens. There's when you breed multiple snakes to one, you can have split clutches. I had them last year, and I had no idea what was going on. I was testing my own snakes. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And I forgot 6 months prior, I'd put a male in there, and he took two of the babies. And I'd sold that male. I'd sold that male because I'd upgraded. So I didn't have the male anymore. So in my head, I'm like, no, this is the only male I ever put to this girl. And then I'm scrolling back in my pictures one day. I take pictures of all the locks and all that. And I'm like, oh, man, that's how it got GHI in it. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. You know, so it's stuff like that's a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, right. So if I could tell you, like, yeah, no, this baby isn't head hypo, and you're like, but it has to. It came from a visual male. Like, was there ever any other male in there with it? Yeah, but it was like months ago. But that doesn't mean anything, you know. There are, you know, and I'm always down to work with people to help try to figure it out. So that's what I did. I'm like, listen, things are weird. Your results are weird. Your results from the babies are weird. Your results in my testing is weird based on the pairing. So let's figure it out. Let's test for this, and this, and, you know, do the best we can and try to figure out who's your daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I got
it. Yeah. And that just happened to me too. I put a backup male in to warm a female up and then use my main male after that. And the whole clutch was like from the backup male from the very first lock in the beginning. It happens. And I forgot the same thing though. I forgot I used it. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Oh, wait, man. I used the plain one for one lock in the beginning.
Yeah. No, it happens. It's crazy. Like I was so shocked. And luckily I knew the breeder who I got the mail from that I thought was the dad of the whole clutch. And I'm calling, I'm like, dude, you have something else going on here. I'm like, look back at your freaking lineage, see what's going on. And I'm making him crazy. He's like, no, it's only this. It can't be anything else. I'm like, look at this baby. How could you tell me it's not something else? And he's like, Charlie, I don't know what to tell you. And then I called him like, hey, you're going to kill me, but you're right. Like, sorry, I screwed up. Right?
But yeah, dude, retained sperm is a thing as well. Sometimes a couple seasons later, all of a sudden, something weird pops out.
Right.
Yeah, so
a lot of times people want to get angry and upset with the breeder. You know, it's like, hey, they might not. It most likely is. I feel like now with shed testing, I'm sure there are still people doing it, but people that were being scumbags a while ago, I think, are thinking twice about it now. So a lot of the times, I feel like things are honest mistakes.
Right.
I mean, you know, and things could happen, and people gotta not just be so quick to jump and be like, this guy's a scumbag, he screwed me. Let's figure it out first. Maybe he didn't. Talk to him like a real person, because I know if it happened to me, I wouldn't want you to come screaming yelling at me, because I want to help you, I want to figure it out, you know.
Yeah, there's retained sperm. I've had partial parthos too, right.
Yes.
So, I mean, things happen, I mean,
right,
it is breeding what it animals, is, man.
Right? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So. Right.
Yeah, just communicate. And I like what you said earlier about kind of working out a lot of these things ahead of time, right? Mm-hmm. Don't wait for the bad event to happen and then go try and work all these things out. Yeah. You know, and like you, I just want anybody that buys a snake from me to be happy with it, right? That's the main goal, right? So, you know.
And if you screw up as a breeder and you sell something wrong and you were confident it was something, like, everybody's wrong at IDing stuff, especially your own stuff. Everybody thinks their snake has everything in it.
Right.
You know, and it's just natural to think that. You know, I joke and say, like, I don't want to ID any of mine. I'm going to send pictures to other people. But like, you tell me what these are, because I think this is the best snake in the world. I think this has every gene.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Like, I mean, everybody's kid's going to be playing major leagues, right? Exactly. So, I mean, you know. But,
yeah.
Yeah. So what would be, you know, with people that don't believe in shed testing, and let's take the premise that they don't believe in it, like they don't believe in the science or the accuracy. What would be your one response to somebody like that?
Send me some controls. go to your rack, pull out a bunch of known het clowns and known visual clowns and known not clowns and send them to me. I guarantee I can tell you what they are.
Has anybody ever taken that up on like no, a challenge?
Only me and Brandon Nixon did it on Monsoon while we were before I released it and everything. And I was like, he's like, hey, do you want me to send you a bunch of known visual het and negative monsoons blindly and you test them? I said, yeah, let's do it. You know, and we did it and they worked on all of them, you know. So again, small sample size, but it's a good test. I like, you know, those things are, you know, make me feel warm and cuddly inside when that happens.
Helps you sleep at night, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Or how about this? Let me rephrase the question, because I've had discussions with people and they're like, oh, I wouldn't waste my money. It's, you know, it's snake oil, right? Like it's all fake. Don't, you know, they're just lying to you, taking your money kind of thing. And so I try and explain like kind of the theory behind it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then they go, well, yeah, but if it's not 100%, I don't want anything to do with it then.
So you want a 66%?
Well, no. I'm saying if it's not a 100%.
No, that's what I'm saying. No.
Oh.
So, and that's the thing, like when I release a test, I really want it to be as confident as I can that the test is the actual mutation, the causative mutation. So the reason behind the snake having that phenotype, not a genetic marker that travels along with that sometimes, although those are used in a lot of other fields and they're very, very accurate. And right now, the only one that we could 100% say for sure is piebald, because they've used CRISPR and made a piebald anole.
No kidding?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So that's the only one that we could say for sure. I could tell you that looking at the lace gene and where it is in lace and what it does in those mutations in other animals that have been studied on this planet, that I am very confident that that is the causative mutation for lace, you know? So when we get things like that, we could be very, very, very confident, but until I take that and put it into an animal that is not lace and makes it lace, we'll never know. Right. You know, right. That's what the validation is for. If I test 100 and 100 out of 100 are correct, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, I like to go to casinos. I've taken a lot worse odds than that in my life.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
So if we made lace anoles, we could market that, because you know there's the lace monitors, and we could have like the little miniature lace anoles. You know, just saying.
You got some money, Shane? Send it over. We'll make it happen.
Do you think there's a future for CRISPR and ball pythons and reptiles? Do you think that's a thing in the future? Splicing our own.
You know, I've talked to people a lot smarter than me when it comes to things like this, and is it possible? Yeah. You know, but there's still more research to be done on it. And, you know, it's too expensive, you know, right now to do. It's not, you know, and I believe it's also risky. Like it might not work. You know, you have to do everything perfectly for it to work.
Right.
I don't study it. I don't know enough about it, but I've looked into it obviously because it's cool. But I don't think anytime soon we'll be making our own snakes, you know?
Right. It kind of takes the fun out of it too. If we're just like building them,
then it's game over. Whoever's the richest wins. Whoever has the most money wins.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's it. It's over. There's no more industry. It's whoever's got the most money, and there's people that have a lot more money than every person in this industry that could just, okay, what do you want? Name your price, name your snake. I'll make it.
Right.
There'll be none of us will be here doing this, you know, at least as a business.
Right. Yeah, totally. Who knows? Maybe Jay from Prehistoric would win then, because he knows all the guys from Dubai and all that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, CRISPR is being used over. I show miniature bull terriers, dogs.
I had an English bull terrier for 12 years.
Oh, did you?
I love it. Yeah, it's the coolest dog in the world.
Oh, man. They are a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
So there's
psychopaths, but they're fun.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're lovable psychopaths, dude. Yeah. I love those guys. So there's a guy using CRISPR to bring in blue into the BTs, you know, and Merle and stuff like that, all those colors. So our club, the clubs are rewriting standards to specifically list the banned colors, you know, just for that. But definitely interesting technology. It's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Jay popped in. Jay, glad you made it through your surgery, sir. Hopefully recovery goes well. He had some questions about Mandarin. He said he just wanted. So I was just wondering if it might end up like Black Pastel and have a couple of lines, or are there lots of mis-ID'd snakes out there? So we kind of touched on that earlier, but if you wanted to kind of.
Yeah, I mean, Mandarin. Like I said, we're not deep enough yet into Mandarin. I have a test that I've been validating for a few weeks now, and it's been really, really, really accurate. There's like one snake that is questionable on the list right now of snakes that got called negative that the breeder was like, yeah, I really think it is Mandarin. It hasn't shut it down yet, you know, but it's one. You know, so we're still going, but I've tested a bunch. Heather in Canada tested some, so, and it's been working. And it's one of those genes that I think it stood out. You know, it was something that makes me a lot more confident in. Maybe it's not the actual mutation right there. Maybe we have to look a little further upstream or downstream, but we're close. But anything's possible. Anything can change at any moment. You know, these things are mutating. You know, we're inbreeding so much that, you know, who knows? Anything's possible.
Right.
But yeah, Black Pastel, I think I could talk a little bit about it. There's a lot of lines of Black Pastel. Let's just put it that way. A lot. Way more than you would think.
Okay. Gotcha.
And yes, Lace Legit is connected to GHI, meaning that they are most likely going to be allelic once we start breeding them out and we get some data on that. But based on where they are, it would be shocking if they weren't. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So from other genes that you've seen that are allelic, the relationship is very similar.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
Yeah.
So what that means out there is no white lace GHI, people.
Pretty much.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you bought one, sorry. No, I'm trying.
Hey, if you want to try for it and prove us all wrong, that'd be awesome too. That'd be cool if you did.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, anything could happen.
Right.
Right.
That's very true. All right. Well, Charlie, Shane, did you have anything else on the list question wise that we didn't get to that you thought was kind of hard? Okay. We try and keep these to about an hour, man. And I know you've got to put your son to bed and you have additional work and all that. Sorry, Shane, were you saying something? Did I cut you off?
No. Okay. Go ahead.
Charlie, did you have anything that you'd like to share with us that
I just want to thank everybody for the continued support, and like everybody's been real awesome. You know, I know I disappoint a lot of people sometimes, but you know, everybody's like, and most people are really, really cool. If I'm like, hey, I want to rerun this or I want to do that. Like, yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Like, I'm happy that you're doing that. Like, so, you know, there's times where this sucks. I'm not going to lie, where I'm exhausted and things it's stressful, but then you'll get a text from somebody like, hey, really appreciate what you're doing. This is so cool. Thank you. It's like, all right, yeah, let's keep moving. Let's keep it going. You know? So I really appreciate everybody out there that's supportive, and there's a lot of people that aren't, not a lot, but there are people that aren't, and that's fine. Everybody has their own opinions, but like I said, stay tuned. I don't think we're going to be slowing down anytime soon, and I think certain areas we're going to be picking up really, really fast. So I'm excited, and I think everybody else will be too.
Yeah.
Where do people go to get a shed test done?
Shedtesting.com. Nice and easy.
Nice. Man. Hey, and shout out your show too.
Yeah. So on every first of the month, Patrick McKnight and I from Aura Reptiles, we do Smart Guy and a Doctor on Fat Man Nation, where once a month, you know, we figure that's, you know, plenty of time for us to gather, you know, enough cool things to talk about in the genetic testing industry, you know, just do it once a month and let people know. And, you know, if there's bigger announcements that need to happen in between that, we could always do pop-ups and everything like that. But once a month, I think, is plenty for us to, you know, show our faces and answer questions. And because honestly, people are asking questions all day anyway. So it's not like back in the day where, you know, you only see things if it comes out on the news or in the newspaper. Information is immediate. So we try to keep it once a month and keep it fun. So check it out.
If you put one of those little auto replies in your Instagram messenger, people will stop messaging you as much. Just saying.
It may happen soon. but at least I've been better. Honestly, my wife yells at me a lot because I am glued to it and I answer things way too quick. Like if I feel my phone going, I look and I answer, mainly because I know how I like to be treated when I'm a customer. But it is a little bit not sustainable. So I've been better at, all right, look at Instagram a few times a day, not a few times every 10 minutes.
Right.
So if you don't hear from me within 5 minutes like you used to, I promise you, you're going to hear from me that day.
Yeah. Just wait longer. It'll be fine. Just wait longer. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Everybody got to realize. Yes, I'll be at Tinley.
Oh, for Josh. Cool. Well, hell yeah, man. I really enjoyed tonight. Thought we had some good stuff covered. Really appreciate your time again. Thank you for all you do, Charlie. The technology side of this, for me, is super exciting, and I think it's bringing so much to the table. And to have somebody like you stirring the ship over with shedtesting.com brings a lot of faith to it, because I know how much people want to rely on something like this, and if the people running it aren't doing it ethically or, you know, then it can really all fall apart. So appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Charlie.
All right. And to the Reptiles Unplugged crew, thank you guys for joining us tonight. Appreciate all the questions and activity. And just to kind of close us out, if you didn't catch us live, feel free to listen to the replay. Leave us a comment. If you're listening on one of the listen only channels, podcast over on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, or some of the others, leave us a comment over there. Let us know how we're doing. With that said, everybody, have a great night, and we shall see you next week.